You're not already there, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, where our message is coming from. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love towards us. We thank you, Father, for the church you have placed us into. We be ever mindful, Lord, that you have put us here, and that, Lord, we would honor you today. We would allow the Holy Spirit to minister your grace and truth of your word to us this morning. And we ask that this would be a blessed time for us. In the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're looking through the book of Ephesians, and the series has been titled Believer's Position in the Grace of God. And today we're looking at Christ and His Bride, the husband and his wife. That's the title of this morning's message. J. Lawrence wrote, "Home is the acid test of the truly yielded life. For in all other phases of Christian service, there is a certain amount of glamour. But in the home, one is confronted with the bare facts of life, stripped of all glamour. The home is given to help every Christian not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. And it is in the home that we have the privilege of demonstrating that the Christ life is faith which worketh by love." I thought with that thought in mind, we would look at the most challenging of all relationships, the husband and wife union. We will be coming up to children and employers and employees next time, but for today we're looking at the husband and wife union. You know, it's interesting to see here, as I was looking at this, that there are three verses for you wives out there. Three verses for you wives. Important verses. But men, I want to explain something to you. There are 9 verses in this passage of Scripture relating to you husbands. 9. 3 times as much. Now, with that thought in mind, we should all be paying attention to what the Lord has for us this morning. Now, well, you could count the ladies 4, because in verse 33 it says, "Wives, reverence your husband." But, wives, that will be easy for you to do if the husband's doing what he's supposed to do in his 9 verses. You won't have a problem with it. We finished last time in Ephesians 5, 19 to 21, which says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Now, verse 21 sets out the theme, not only for husbands and wives, but as I said, also for children and those in the workforce. And our text today is a clear illustration of what the church is, or what the church is supposed to be. Christ is the husband and the church is his bride. Now, before we go too further, there are no grounds at all for abuse in the church. And there are no grounds at all for abuse in a marriage. We get that clear. I was reading a story of one woman who was battered weekly. Battered weekly. And the pastor and the Christian counselor said, "Oh, just do it for the glory of God." That's not biblical. Now, in our text this morning, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife." Ladies, this has nothing to do with being inferior. Nothing at all. Men and women are created equals in the sight of God, but they have been given different roles. In other words, what I'm saying is complementary roles. You see, the Lord's designed husbands to provide leadership in the home, and wives to support their husbands. Now listen, God has chosen to order things this way, and we need to trust the one who knows all things with our lives and live in line with his instructions to us. You see, Christian marriage is about partnership, not tyranny. God has called wives to help their husbands be all that God has called them to be. Now, in our culture today, the feminist movement doesn't agree with the idea of having roles. It does not agree with the idea of submission. They see it as being walked over like a doormat. But they cannot see, and nor do they understand God's intention for them. It was interesting, I read the other day how a feminist group went into a toy store and swapped all the voice boxes from the Barbie dolls into the G.I. Joe dolls and vice versa. So that's where they stand. Now it says here in the text, wives submit as unto the Lord. Now many men have turned this around to say that a wife is to treat her husband as if he were her Lord. There is only one Lord, and wives gladly support their husband out of reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, wives there, we're told, are to be subject in everything, listen, that is proper in marriage. We understand that? Say amen. Proper in marriage. Now, these are principles that are not just for church, but for home. In fact, they're for life regardless of where a person is. Because if these principles aren't at work for the Lord in the home, they'll never be at work for Him in the church. And Christ is illustrating what a church should be through the marriage of a husband and wife. You see, the home is a sanctuary. As we read in Ephesians 5:19 there, of praise, of fellowship, of song, of rejoicing. It's a place of submission to one another according to the word and the will of God. You see, it's a picture to be a picture in miniature of how heaven is. And the question is, how many of you are living in the atmosphere of heaven in your homes? See, these verses, they're spiritual and eternal truths. And wives are to willingly support and encourage their husbands' leadership in the home, not undermining them. Now, it doesn't mean blind, unquestionable obedience. If a husband is in error, if a husband is living in plain sin, it is the wife's responsibility to confront him and point him back to the Lord as the ultimate authority. Christ is our provider and our protector. He's our head and our Savior, and He is the type we are to follow. You see, biblical authority does not mean the authority of a husband, a parent, a servant, or a master is unlimited. And in a church, just to add one there, neither is a pastor's authority unlimited. And I'm adding that because we have a spiritual picture here of Christ and His church. But the submission required is to God's authority and His commands as He has delegated through His word to human beings. And if they misuse the God-given authority, if a husband is commanding a wife what God doesn't command or forbids his wife what God does command, then the responsibility is to no longer conscientiously submit but refuse to do so. We are submit right up to the point where obedience to human authority would involve disobedience to God. And in the workplace and at home, in church, they would be far better if these truths weren't just talked about but practiced. See, the real question is, do my choices and actions and attitudes, do they honor Christ? do they honour Christ. Colossians 3:17 reminds us, and whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto God the Father by him. Now we come to the husbands. Now, before we start with the husbands, remember verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, for the wife, this shows itself in respect and support for her husband. And for the husband, it shows itself in self-sacrificing love. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, the question is, how did Jesus win our hearts? It was through love. It was through love that God sent his Son into the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It was through love. Now, that sounds basic, but love is the central thread of Christianity, because it reveals God to the world. You know, John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if you have what? Love one to another. See, we're told to walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice for God, a sweet-smelling savour. Ephesians 5:2. See, a husband's responsibility is to love sacrificially for his wife. Give over everything for her. Now, this love is the agape style of love, a love that seeks the best, the highest good of another. But listen, it doesn't stop there. It seeks the best, the highest good of another at the price of our own good. That's agape love. It's the very first step that a man shows in servant leadership in the home. It reveals Christ in a marriage. Why? Because it's what Christ did for us. He had no thought for his throne in heaven. He left that. He came down to this earth. He put on a body of flesh to die, to give himself for all who will believe in him. That's his love. And as husbands, we're to model that to our wives and our families. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You see, the husband is the head of the wife, not a boss. Just as a wife runs a home, not rules it, but runs it, the husband is to love his wife exactly the same way Jesus loves the church and gave himself fully for it. Now, if the light bulb hasn't switched on, husband, something's wrong. Very wrong. A believing husband is not to dominate, dictate, or domineer his wife. He is to love her. He is to lead her. He is to protect her. And if she is the kind of wife she should be, she wants to be loved. She wants to be led. And she wants to be protected by her husband. And a woman, a wife with the right spirit, doesn't have a desire to boss her husband around. And we see the word water there, and I'll just for argument's sake at the moment, water baptism is an ordinance of the New Testament church. Verse 26 there, it says that he, that's Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse it. That's the church. How? By the washing of the water of the word. It's the word of God. Listen, there's not enough water in all the oceans, rivers and dams in this world to wash away the least little sin you or I have ever done. Water baptism has nothing to do with redemption or salvation. It just testifies that the believer has acknowledged Christ as their Savior, been buried with him and risen again to a newness of life. It'll never wash away sin. Only the shed blood of Christ is what has made atonement for sin. And verse 27 tells us that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. How is it today that he continues to bring us into to be in subjection to him, to his leadership and his will? How does he do that? That's very simple. He does it by love. He does it by love. Just so we who are husbands are to win the submission of our wives through love, even as Christ loved us before we submitted to him, even unto death. You see, it's a love that has a, what will we say, a sanctifying effect on his wife. It's a love where he encourages his wife's growth spiritually, emotionally, intellectually. It's a forgiving love that promotes grace, not grudges, in the home. It's a love that accepts her for who she is and doesn't expect perfection out of her. And as Christ lived, as Christ loved, I should say, so the husband's love will move him to surrender his preferences, having his own way, so that he will meet his wife's needs. That's the biblical husband. That's what he does for her. He will want to honor his wife. Why? Because he sees her as the precious gift from God that she is. Because she is too made in the image of God. 1 Peter 3:7 says to us, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Now, verse 32 says, the whole thing's a mystery. This was unknown. This was an unknowable truth which has now been revealed. No longer a mystery. You see, this is love in another realm. Not merely the ideal for every Christian husband. This is to be the standard of the home. The standard of a husband. The normal way a husband lives for his family and his wife. Why? Because it concerns Christ and the church, which illustrates the truth for a Christian husband and his wife. Verse 28 to 30 says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." You see, a man and wife are one people. One, who are married in the Lord. They are not two, but one flesh. They love alike, they think alike, they rejoice together, they weep together. That's how a Christian marriage should be. No man hates his own flesh. We feed, we cherish, we nourish our flesh. We look after ourselves, and we are told we are to do the same for our wives, even as the Lord, the church. Now, the reason a man loves his wife as his own body is because a man's wife is his body. Well, there's no verse for that. I'll just give you one. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Very simple. You see, we are united to his body, members of his flesh, of his bones, and no wonder he looks after us. No wonder us husbands go to such great pains to look after our wives. That's what we do, because that's what Christ has done for the church. Listen, if you've got little ones, mums and dads, make sure you look after them. And if you're the kind of mum and dad you ought to be, that's what you'll do. Jesus is the Saviour, and he ought to be, and he looks after his own. For this cause, it tells us, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Listen carefully. Marriages in the Lord are holy. Marriages in the Lord are sacred. They are a spiritual setting. They are a type of the New Testament church. You don't go into a marriage lightly. God provided the first bride. God performed the first marriage. And God instructed man that he was to leave and forsake everything else. But never, never, never forsake your wife. Die for her. Love her. Sacrifice for her. Don't let the children abuse her. You say, oh, my children don't abuse her. Are they listening to her? Are you making sure they're obedient to her? Protect your wives, especially from your children. Now, if you're here today and you're single, do not marry until you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is in that relationship. So many people go to Bible college looking for a husband instead of looking for God. And you're going to Bible college for that reason, don't go. Don't go chasing after someone, church hopping here, church hopping there, church hopping down the road. Don't go chasing after someone. Get on your knees in prayer and ask God to bring them along. Now you may think it's not too good to be in your late 20s and your early 30s and not married. Listen, it is far better to remain single, a single woman, than to marry the wrong man and be heartbroken for the rest of your life on this earth. Amen. Remember, 1 Corinthians 12:18, God has placed you where it has pleased him. Don't go church hopping to find a husband that may never please you. Now, praise God, our relationship with the Lord cannot be dissolved. Amen. We live in a day of easy marriage and easy divorce, but our marriage in the spiritual sense to the Lord is irrevocable. Once we are his, once you are saved for eternity. Now, this is a great mystery, verse 32 tells us, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You know, it's amazing how God has seen fit to illustrate the husband and wife relationship in Christ and the church. Now, I want to say one thing here. Christ is perfect. And wives, as you know, no husband is. Amen? A lot of heads nodding there. We know that too. One day the church will be spotless. One day we'll be spotless ourselves in glory. But until then, none of us are. Neither is the wife, for that matter. But as the church is submissive to the head in all things, so is the wife to her husbands. And husbands, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, you are to do that for your wives. And there's no greater love than that. No greater love than that. How is it possible to accomplish either of those? I'm glad you asked. It is only possible through being continually filled, led, directed, and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. There is no other way. What we are unable to do in the natural sense, He does for us, in us, and through us. And this is why He's been sent into the hearts of both the husbands and the wife, so that their very home will be a foretaste of heaven. And when a husband and wife are both close to the Lord, then it is very simple. They are of a necessity close to one another. You see, when a husband and wife are walking with the Lord, then they cannot be walking with the Lord without walking with one another. This is God's command for every Christian marriage. See, this is a marriage in another realm. And as I finish, I like to read how great men and women of God prayed. I love to just get an insight into how they approached their God. And we're looking this afternoon at our personal relationship with the Lord, how it's to be real, not just a textbook. But I like to read how people pray, how they see their thoughts and their intents towards God. And I'd like to finish with one of those prayers this morning, and I'd like to read it out as our closing prayer for this message. So shall we bow our heads, and I will read this out. And it says, Father, I do pray for our homes in this non-Christian world. There was a time when even though the majority of people in this country were unsaved, yet there was a morality that governed the nation. Families were intact, and families watched over other families with concern rather than with lust and covetousness. Help us to know that your purpose for couples is to be in union with you in the middle, a trinity of purpose. As we walk alone, we are unable to be what we need to be to our spouse. And it is only as we see each other as half of ourselves that we are reminded that everything we do affects the other. Lord, help us to understand that as you intend for us, we are to intend for the other. Make us one in spirit, in purpose, and in faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.